This morning we're continuing a sermon series we began in January called The Human Project. And we've been actually in this sermon series since January, believe it or not. We started in the new year in January talking about what it means to be human. And who is this God who has created human beings? And what's the universe that human beings live in? And what does it mean to be made in the image of God? And what does it mean to this image of walking with God, that humanity is meant to walk with God? And then we also spent time during Lent thinking about human suffering. And we were talking about connecting the suffering that we go through with the suffering of Jesus. And I don't think I've shown the graphic, the Human Project graphic, for a little while. And I don't know if the graphics that we make here at Nelson Avenue you spend much time looking at. But this is actually, I think, a fairly profound graphic. We maybe need to just let people know all the different parts of it. But the part I want to highlight this morning, and I know you can't read it from where you're at, but I do this because I love these passages. On the left side, we have the passage from Genesis chapter 1, which talks about God making us male and female in His image. It's a foundational passage for understanding what it means to be human. And then I was so thankful, on the right side, we have the passage from 2 weeks ago. Anybody remember 2 weeks ago? No, it was Easter Sunday, 1 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. The new creation has come. So I'm so thankful that those two passages are the bookends for what the Human Project is all about. Now this morning we're starting a little, what I call, mini-series within the Human Project, and we're calling it Life Together. We're stealing it, the title, from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's little book called Life Together. And we're going to focus a number of weeks on human relationships, by which I mean not simply just certain kinds of relationships, but I'm hoping we'll have a chance to think about all of our relationships, what it means to be relational beings, what it means for us to be in relationship with each other. So how do I relate? How should I relate? How do I relate when it's difficult to relate? So we're going to hopefully talk about, spend a Sunday on conflicts, hopefully spend a Sunday on forgiveness. We're going to talk about different kinds of relationships, but we also want to spend some time talking about what it means to be single and God's calling there and other things as well. So how do we live life together as human beings, when it's really great and when it's not so great? And this morning we're going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12, and I'm looking for the Bible reader. Jesse! Thank you, sorry about that. So 1 John 4, 7 to 12.
Okay. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us.
Now, if you're at Nelson Avenue for a number of weeks or months or years, I'm hoping and assuming that you will start hearing certain words or themes on a maybe regular basis. And I'm not going to do it this morning, but I would love to know, especially for those of you who have been here quite a while, what are the words and themes and concepts you hear more often than not. I'm hoping, of course, that you hear a lot about God. Right? I mean, that's kind of obvious. Although I'm thinking all of a sudden about this pastor in Toronto who leads a church, and the pastor is an atheist. This is the news I hear. So I'm always wondering, how would that work? If you don't believe in God and you're leading a church community that does believe in God, do you ever mention God? But here at Nelson Avenue, I'm hoping you hear about God. Who is the God who has made this world? I'm hoping you hear a lot about Jesus. Who is this Jesus that the Bible presents to us? I hope you hear, but I don't think we hear often enough about the Spirit. I hope you hear a lot about the cross and the empty tomb, or the crucifixion and the resurrection. I hope you hear a call to faith. I hope you hear a call to serve others. And I really hope you hear a lot about love. Now, I know that love is a big word. It's a little word, but really it's a big word. And we mean a lot of things by it, right? So I can say, I love hamburgers, which I do. I love hamburgers. But I also love my wife. And if you just looked at those two sentences, you'd say, well, you're using the same word for hamburgers and for your wife. You know, is there a different word, a better word, a bigger word we can use for loving your wife or loving your spouse or loving your kids? And we don't, really. I mean, we have other words, but this is the word we have. So I realize that love is a kind of, it's a simple word in some ways, complicated word, big word. But I'm hoping you hear a lot about love at Nelson Avenue. But not just a lot of talk, but my hope is, and I believe it's the longing of the church community, that no matter who you are, whether you're here for one Sunday or many, many, many Sundays, not just hearing about love, but really experiencing love, the love of God and the love of each other, not in generic ways, not in patronizing ways, but in really genuine, authentic ways. That's our longing. That's my hope and prayer. It happens to us. Because the love of God in Jesus, through Jesus, meant to soften our hearts. It's meant to be like this major reality that happens to us. The love for God and the love for others is meant to be the main thing of our lives. So I know we do all kinds of things, but the greatest thing we could ever do with our lives is love God and love others. And as Francis Schaeffer wrote, it is love that is meant to be the distinguishing mark of the Christian. We are meant to be stamped by love. And if of individual Christians and certainly of the church community, love, love, love. And in the Christian faith, and hopefully Nelson Avenue, love's a big deal, but I also at the same time that love is a huge deal in our culture, right? Like I just start thinking about songs I used to listen to or stories people write or movies people make and we watch that are all about love in all kinds of different ways. So I'm hoping sometime very soon, but it can't happen tonight. Like it's the theater's already booked, but I'm hoping very soon to watch the most recent Avengers movie called Endgame. The movie is sort of taking the world by storm. I did not anticipate that. I knew it would be big, but it just seems to be like beyond big. But I'm expecting, don't tell me, don't spoil it for me, but I'm expecting somewhere in the movie something about love, right? Like some characters or the band of superheroes, this kind of bond and love they have for each other, or the love they have for the cause they're fighting for. The love is so deep they're willing to sacrifice themselves for the sake of the world. I'm expecting that. I don't know if I'm going to see it, but I'm expecting something like that. I was encouraged recently to watch a documentary about Mr. Rogers, who I hardly knew anything about. Won't you be my neighbor? Mr. Rogers. I never really watched this show when I was a kid, and now I wish that I had. It began in 1968. And when I hear that year, I'm always like, oh, 68. I was born in 68. So it started the year I was born and lasted for 33 years. And the main theme, I never knew this, Mr. Rogers was a Presbyterian minister, and the main theme of his life, and then all of a sudden, boom, it just hit me. Of course, the main theme of the TV show was love your neighbor. I don't know why. That's sometimes how thick it is up here, but I never realized won't you be my neighbor was really a connection to Luke 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. I never thought about that, right? Who will be a loving neighbor? And of course, there are so many great quotes about love, and I'm not going to quote them all, but I love this quote. I mean, I wish I had thought of it and said it to someone I love. But this is from The Lord of the Rings. Arwen and Aragorn talking in the moonlight. Arwen is an elf. I believe she could live for a long time, maybe forever. But she's choosing to love a human being who cannot live forever. And so if she chooses him, she cannot live forever. And then she says, man, I would rather spend one lifetime with you than face all the ages of this world alone. I wish I said that. I wish I had thought of that quote. I think it's a great quote for this couple to say, but I sometimes think, what a great quote just to say to people. I mean, it could be spouses, but it could also just be friends, or even maybe people in a church community would say this to each other. I have other opportunities, maybe I could do other things, but I'd rather spend this time with you. I would maybe even sacrifice some things than to be off on my own doing other stuff. I would rather spend this lifetime or this time with you than doing other stuff. So this morning, all of this to kind of get us ready for 1 John chapter 4, as we're thinking about love. This chapter is just all full of love. We just read a few verses, and it says a lot of things about love, but I just want to look at three things this morning. I want to talk about the origin of love. Where does love come from? The definition of love. What is love? And then the progress of love. Like, where is love supposed to go and flow? So I'm going to do sort of a little bit boring, just verse by verse for a few moments, until we get to verse 11, and then I want to make some application into this church community. So we're just going to go verse by verse for a bit and talk about what this passage tells us about love. So 1 John 4:7, the beginning of the passage, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God," or "love comes from God," or "love is from God," that this ultimate being, this God in the universe, this Father, Son, and Spirits, love comes from this being, this God. Love is one of the words that defines this being. It is a word talking about not just God and anything outside of God, but also God in Himself. That love has always existed. Not because love has always existed, but love has always existed because God has always existed, right? That love has been there eternally because God is the eternal one. And then we move on quickly to 1 John 4:8, the next verse. "Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love." Sort of the same kind of thing. Love comes from God. Or God is love, that all God does proceeds from love. Or we could say the God who surrounds this universe and so often inhabits this universe is a God of love. The incubator for the world is love. The environment for the creation of the universe is love. The cradle in which we exist is love. And as I think about, I was talking a little bit about all the love that gets portrayed in film and TV shows and movies. And I hope you'd agree with me. Like, there's a lot of love being talked about. And then I think about this claim that God is love. Like, you cannot understand God without this reference, this massive reference to love. So love in the culture, love throughout human history, people love to talk about it and sing about it and make movies about it and TV shows, and then God is love. Is that just coincidence? Are those just two realities that are kind of functioning kind of independently, or is there a connection? And I think there are only two ways, if we believe there's a connection, there's only two ways to describe the connection. Either we say, well, because we love so much and we sing about love and we make movies and plays and TV shows about love, we have made God into our image. Because we love God, because we love love so much, we have made a God. We've projected this love onto God because we want him to be a God of love. So this is, now I'm not a real Freudian scholar at all. I hardly know anything about Sigmund Freud, but when I think about Sigmund Freud, this is, I think, what he and others would say, right? Our longings, our desires, what we want, we have made God to be like that. The explanation that the Bible gives is that our longing for love, our wanting to talk and sing and make portrayals of love, is there because God is love. It works the other way, actually, right? It's not because we love love that we made God like this. Rather, because God is love, he has made us like this. So we don't project our longing on God. Rather, God, in some sense, not just projects, but he stamps his longing on us. Right? He makes us in his image, and he makes us as people who are longing for love, who are longing to love. And as we keep moving through our passage, 1 John 4:9, we start getting a sense of what is this love? What does this love look like? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So the origin of love is God, in God, if we can use that language, because love has always been there with God. So origin is a bit of a weird word to use, but when we think, well, where did it come from? It came from God. And then we cannot understand love without reference to God. We cannot define love simply by looking at ourselves or looking inside of ourselves or thinking, well, how much do I love other people? That must be the definition of love. This passage says, if you want to understand love, look at God and see what God has done, because God's love is never nebulous or hazy or untouchable. It is always, in the story of the Bible, it is always put into human history, right? It is always embodied. You can always see it somehow. It is always touchable. The God who is love from all eternity sent his one and only Son into the world, a very hostile territory. And then this phrase, he sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. Which for me is the sermon series, Life Together. That God did this to establish or reestablish life and relationship with his people. So it's always the act of love for the sake of life. And again, I'm assuming in Endgame, it's going to happen, right? I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to love so that others will live. Or in the next verse, 1 John 4:10, this is love. So here's the definition, not what I think, Not how I define love. This is love. Not that we love God. That would be the wrong way to think about love, the wrong place to start. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So when we start understanding the story of the Bible, all the Bible is saying about the sending of the Son into the world, what God has done for the sake of the world, that is where we start understanding what love is. A very not human-centered view of love, but a God-centered, a Jesus-centered view of what love is. And then we get to the verse I just want to focus on for a few moments, 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, so think back verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So for me, the logic is, let's talk about where love comes from. Then let's talk about how love gets shown or demonstrated. And then let's talk about what it means for those of you who are reading these verses or hearing these verses. So the Bible never, ever, ever tells us something about God just for the sake, just to say, well, God is love. Period. Let's move on to something else. The Bible never does that. It's always telling us about God, who God is, what God does. Wow! Amazing! Implication for my life. This is always how the teaching of the Bible works. So this morning the teaching is God is love. Love comes from God. God has demonstrated love by sending his Son into a hostile world. And now, if you can grasp that even a little bit, like this morning's verse from Ephesians 3, I think it was, Brian, that Matt and Natasha would have power to grasp how wide and deep and high and long is the love of God. If you can grasp even some of that, then love one another. Out of that, let it flow through you into the lives of others. If we're going to live truly human lives, if we're going to truly connect with God, who is love, if we're truly going to connect with one another, human to human, in the most fully human way that we can, then love is the way. And our life together must be, or we're called into, we're encouraged and we're invited into this life of love. And as we think about the definition, right? So that's, he doesn't spend a lot of time on this author, but we think about the definition, the love of God demonstrated is not like a sort of a nice thing, like a walk in the park, like everything was easy. Right? That's why we get four Gospels, to show us how difficult this was for the Son of God to enter a sin-filled world and live his life for the sake of the Father, always tempted away from the cause, always tempted away from the mission. But he lives with singular vision. I mean, he's the one who could sing those worship songs earlier, right? I give you my whole heart. I give you my whole life. And we're trying to follow Jesus. As Lori said, we're not always doing it really well, but he's the one who could sing those songs fully with all that he has. As we think about what he did, we have to say that when we live our life together, if we really want to love each other, it's going to mean sacrifice. Right? It's going to be love in hard places. It's going to be love with hard people, right? It's going to be love, a call to love those that others will not love or cannot love or don't want to love. I was just reading this great book on the book of Esther. It's called Faith Among the Faithless. There's one little quote at the end of the book from a philosopher, Cornel West, who said to love is to, can you finish it for me? To love is to die. To love is to die. That's what we see in the definition of love, right? The Father sending the Son into a hostile world, what happens? And when Jesus sends us into a hostile world, there's a kind of dying that happens. So this morning, I'm trying to suggest that whenever we talk about God and we sing about God, which is great to do, it's never only, not just for the sake of, oh, isn't that great? There's always, always, always implications for us. So we could talk about the progress of love or paying it forward. This morning, I'm going to use the language of sharing it forward. Sharing it forward, sharing the love we've experienced in Christ, through Christ, and thinking about when we are in conflict, how can we still love each other? When I don't agree with you, how can we still love each other? I'm thinking about the couple that's divorcing or is divorced. How can they still love each other? When we sin against each other, how can we still love each other? Now, I'm going to take a little transition here, and this is especially for those of us who are connected to Nelson Avenue. There is an invitation in your bulletins last week, I think, and this week, to read a report. It's got a cumbersome title, but it is the interim report from the committee to articulate a foundation-laying biblical theology of human sexuality. It is a cumbersome title. I wish there was a way for us to make it shorter. I've read the report. I commend it to you. I also want to commend Pastor Angela for bringing the report to our attention and inviting us to gather in a couple of weeks from now, or a few weeks from now, Thursday night, May 23rd, for conversation about the reports. And I want to say any conversation about sexuality, especially these days, is a good conversation. Now, I got to be honest, I don't want to have the conversation. I don't like talking about sexuality. I'm a pretty private person. All that kind of language, I don't want to. I could even feel it in myself. Is there some way that I could just stop what's happening in our culture and we will never talk about these things at Nelson Avenue? Blah, 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 blah. We'll just go on as if the culture, you can do whatever you want, we're just going to hunker together here at Nelson Avenue. But I realize that would not be the calling of Jesus in our lives. So we are calling, and I'm thankful Pastor Angela is calling us to read this report and to talk about this report. And this morning I want to invite all of us, high school students and older, to read this report, whether online or you get a printed copy from the office. And I want to ask all of us to come on May 23rd and talk about this. And this is, for me, very tangibly how we love each other. Because I can imagine at least one person this morning saying, I don't want you to tell me what to do, Pastor Yo. I don't like that when you tell me exactly what to do. To read a report and come on an evening. And I want to ask, for the sake of love, for the sake of loving others in our church community, and also for the sake of loving our wider community, or the culture around us, I want to invite you, please come. Sacrifice some time. Maybe even in some ways humble yourself. Read the report and come on May 23rd. Pastor Yo, I don't like to read. I don't read anymore. If it's in a meme, or a short little video you have for me, or if you condense it into 5 seconds, then maybe I'll be interested. Pastor Yo, I don't need this report. I know everything there is about what I believe about homosexuality. Pastor Yo, I might not like what I read. Pastor Yo, if we get together on May 23rd, people may say things I don't agree with. Pastor Yo, and this is what I'm thinking about a few years ago when I was talking to some people about, you know, we should talk about human sexuality at Nelson Avenue, or should we? You know, should we? And someone said, well, if you want to blow up the church, go ahead. Now, I don't want to do that. I don't want to blow up the church. But I think we need to engage this together in a spirit of love for the sake, I'm saying, of each other, ourselves, our culture, to read topics and reports that are maybe not easy to read, to engage in topics that not all of us want to engage in, to seek, and this is going to be for me the real test for me, to seek, can I understand you really well, and even our culture really well, before I get an opportunity to explain where I'm coming from. I love that phrase, I keep coming back to it, St. Francis. I want to understand before I'm understood. I really want to listen. To really want the best for others. So I'm hoping and praying that our conversation together, not just on the 23rd of May, but also in general, will be a conversation, an opportunity for us to live life together in love, with lots of grace, lots of truth as well, but lots of love for one another, and even for those in our surrounding community.